Our next article is entitled Room at the Inn. It's written for us by Anne Bassia, a freelance writer living in Mount Vernon, Washington. Staff of Border Servants Corps in Las Cruces, New Mexico, spent the beginning of May on the phone looking for congregations, individuals, social service organizations, really anyone, to offer room at the inn after May 11th, when the U.S. government would lift the Title 42 immigration restrictions imposed at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. Title 42 allowed immigration authorities to expel immigrants and deny entry to asylum seekers. In May, more than 50,000 people living in shelters along the U.S.-Mexico border were waiting to request asylum. As the largest around-the-clock reception and sheltering campus for families in the El Paso sector of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, BCS can welcome about 250 asylum seekers a day. While Title 42 was in place, up to 2,300 asylum seekers a month stopped at the hospitality center for a meal, a hot shower, a change of clothes, short-term housing, and assistance with travel arrangements. Lifting Title 42 was expected to bring many more. Border Service Corps hoped to find groups that could welcome buses of 50 immigrants for 48 to 72 hours, more congregations to sponsor asylum-seeking families, and more funds. Founded in 1977 by Peace Lutheran Church in La Cruces, the organization is funded primarily by a grant from the Federal Emergency Management Agency and counts on its Lutheran partners to welcome everyone who comes in its doors. "We are living in an unprecedented time of global displacement," said Dan Bearn, Director for Mobilization and Faith Relations for Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, or LIRS. "Of the 103 million forcibly displaced people around the world, nearly 32.5 million are refugees, according to the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. Processed in refugee camps around the world, they reach their destination countries with paperwork, sponsors, and benefits in place, and they can work right away. Asylum seekers, by contrast, must present themselves to U.S. authorities and request permission to apply for asylum. Many are turned away. If admitted to the U.S., applicants must file a request within a year of entry and, to be approved, establish a credible fear of persecution or torture if they return home. While they wait, families need sponsors, because asylum seekers don't qualify for federal benefits, such as food stamps, and must spend months, even years, seeking work permits. In April, 40% of the guests at the Border Servant Corps Hospitality Center were from Venezuela. Another 42% were from Colombia, Turkey, and Brazil, and half were children traveling with their families. Many have spent as long as 5 years in a third country before arriving in the U.S. The children of Venezuelan parents have birth certificates from Ecuador, Colombia, or Peru, said Kari Lanander, executive director of BSC. Most have walked or taken ground transportation to the U.S. border. Migrants and asylum seekers stepping off the bus at BSC experienced their first moment in the U.S. out of detention. Lanander and her staff greet them with fresh water, a welcome speech in several languages, and for children, an invitation to the playground. Guests with birthdays that month get a song and a present. Lanander said, "We want people to relax and breathe a little bit and honor the humanity of the folks who are coming to us." Most already have sponsors and move on in their final destination in 3 days. Those who don't often remain in border communities, such as El Paso. Last winter, hundreds of asylum seekers found themselves on charter buses headed to New York City or Washington, D.C., paid for by cities and states along the border. Juan Carlos Ruiz, pastor of Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Brooklyn, said, "We just opened the doors and began helping those who needed to be helped." The congregation retooled its pandemic-era food pantry and kitchen to welcome new arrivals 24 hours a day and to house those with nowhere to stay. Ruiz said, "For those who have been through the jungle, the need is not only for food, but for human connection." Volunteers helped set up calling plans to reach families at home and replace phones that were lost on the journey. The congregation, he said, is serious about its moral and spiritual obligation to take care of the most vulnerable neighbor. We're the ones who are supposed to be doing the work. Messiah Lutheran Church in Marquette, Michigan, is sponsoring Gloria and her two sons, who arrived in September of 2020 and will remain until their asylum trial is scheduled in 2024. Members of Messiah and of nearby Baptist, Episcopal, and Congregationalist churches are walking with the family on their way to independence by accompanying them to the Honduran embassy for passports, driving Gloria to ESL classes, and advocating for services in a school district where with no other Spanish speakers. Molly Ebersol, a pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church, said, "These relationships change your heart and mind." Matthew 25:35-40 is the congregation's guide, she said, noting that our ethos is loving our neighbors as ourselves and recognizing and actually doing something with our abundance that helps the world. Gloria recently secured her work permit and a job at a local hotel. Her oldest son, who lost his leg on the overland journey to the U.S. border, is so comfortable with his new prosthesis that he plays sled hockey during the Upper Peninsula's long cold winters. "Teenage boys are teenage boys," Ebersol said. "They wear their shorts in the snow no matter how cold it is." Before welcoming Gloria and her family, Messiah became a welcoming congregation through ELCA's Amparo strategy, accompanying migrant minors with protection, advocacy, representation, and opportunities. Amparo workshops and resources introduced members of Messiah to border issues and the alphabet soup of immigration statuses. An educational immersion to BSC was huge, Ebersol said. By the time Gloria arrived, they had a good grasp on what lay ahead. The Amparo strategy began in 2016 when nearly 60,000 unaccompanied minors from Central America were apprehended on the southern border. The influx called upon the ELCA to make a more comprehensive response to migration, said Mary Campbell, Amparo Program Director. Adopted by that year's Churchwide Assembly, the strategy seeks to address the root causes of migration in sending countries and respond to the situation with companions, affiliates, and partners, as well as advocate for migrant children and their families. Regarding asylum seekers, the ELCA unequivocally supports the right for people to be able to seek asylum from fear of persecution and violence, said Giovanna Auxa, Amparo's Program Director for Migration Policy. ELCA members live out that position by accompanying people in detention, voicing their concerns to policymakers, and sponsoring families. Amparo has provided sponsorship training to its 223 welcoming congregations, 47 sanctuary congregations, and other ELCA partners. The training helped another Messiah Lutheran Church, and this one is in Amherst, New Hampshire. They prepared that church for a family from Ecuador. When the mother toured the renovated church building that would be her home, she cried tears of joy, said member Doreen Renas. Messiah helped the mother find an immigration lawyer and is supporting her and her two children while she waits for a work permit. Members also transport the four-year-old to preschool and the mother to ESL classes. After St. Andrew Lutheran, a welcoming congregation in San Diego, turned its empty community center into housing, a family of seven from Haiti moved in for 10 months. 3 years later, the community building has served as transient housing for about 50 people, all from Haiti. The Pacifica Synod, Amparo Network, connects St. Andrew with nearby ELC congregations that walk alongside the families as they enroll children in school, see doctors and lawyers, and learn English. Together, we could do so much more, said Sarah Summernan Eisenbraun, a pastor of St. Andrew. Gethsemane Lutheran Church in Seattle has walked alongside 27 asylum seekers in 9 households since 2018. Word gets out. It's something like the Underground Railroad, where people tell others that this is a safe place, said Joanne Enquist, a pastor of Gethsemane. Accompanying migrants and asylum seekers is a relationship and not a project, she said. It's going to be years and years and not months and months, she added, but it's absolutely transforming for our community of faith and for our sense of what God calls us to do and to be. One long journey ends when asylum seekers are admitted to the U.S. and settled with sponsors. Then a second, more complicated journey begins, and Lutherans are companions here too, offering what LIRS calls the long welcome. Our work doesn't just stop with meeting them at the airport, Bairn said. We want refugees and asylum seekers not to just survive, but to thrive. LIRS engages congregations in the long welcome in several ways. Through its Fresh Change initiative, congregations gather and ship new clothing to BSC and other border ministries for asylum seekers leaving detention. The Emmaus Network equips congregations to answer the biblical call to welcome the stranger by standing and advocating alongside these new neighbors. The network's one-stop shop welcome centers help asylum seekers figure out housing, work permits, school system, court appearances, and other steps to making a life in the U.S. Some are located in congregations, such as the one opening this summer at Christ Lutheran Church in Baltimore, thanks to a $450,000 gift from ELCA World Hunger. Some are operated by LIRS or an affiliate group. Other welcome centers, such as the one at Good Shepherd in Brooklyn, are independent. Refugees have a national system to support them, but asylum seekers have nothing, said Alicia Vasquez-Crede, Associate Director for Asylum Services at the LIRS Welcome Center in San Antonio. Welcome centers bridge that gap. As clients and caseworkers assess new arrivals and make a plan with them to find a lawyer or to enroll in English classes, the idea is to work toward those goals together so at the end of 6 months they feel more empowered, she said. The Welcome Center at Lutheran Community Services Northwest in SeaTac, Washington, mentors teens from Afghanistan and Ukraine who entered the U.S. under the Humanitarian Parole Program. Its attorney and legal aides also educate clients on the application process and advocate on their behalf as friends of the court. That's important because courts are confusing places with specialized language and procedure, and missing a hearing or failing to file paperwork greatly increases the odds of being deported. The Amparo Guardian Angels program helps young people as they attend hearings in juvenile immigration court. We are silent, we pray, and we show the judges that vulnerable people, especially unaccompanied minors, are part of who the church is called to accompany, said Justin Eller, assistant to the Bishop for Care and Community, who coordinates 22 volunteers in the Southeastern Synod. Between 15 and 25 young people attend the morning hearings, sometimes with an adult, more often alone. The guardian angels are mostly silent, but if asked, they may answer a question or share information about free legal resources. There have always been strangers, Eller said of his work. This is our time to welcome them. Every country in the Western Hemisphere is looking at mass migration, Owaksak said, and asking themselves, how do we respond in a way that honors our commitments and honors the people we have to protect? For Renus, relationships with real people humanize global statistics. She said, if you actually get to know one family or even a single asylum seeker, everything becomes more dignified and filled with humanity. You discover it's not just a number, but a person with feelings and good and bad experiences. The 500 people who come to Good Shepherd every week for food, clothing, and referrals to housing and lawyers don't deplete our oil jar, Ruiz said. The resources keep coming. Generosity is a hallmark of the resurrection, and when you work out of that frame of mind and heart, you know that God is sustaining us and providing for us, and we are just basically means of God's agency.